D. Smith, welcome in. It is the latest edition of the Unnamed Soccer Podcast. The Unnamed Soccer Podcast is brought to you by Three Punk Ales in Chula Vista. It is also brought to you by Sport Clips, where it is good to be a guy. Darren, a pleasure to see you on a Wednesday evening. I am very excited for tonight's podcast.
Yeah, as am I, too, because, you know, yet again, this is another podcast where we feel like we're getting closer and closer to the beginning of SD Loyal season. Still hearing some rumors about potential friendlies and schedule releases, et cetera. So I know we're getting closer, Jordan. And tonight we look forward to meeting yet another member, a new member of squad number two, team number two here for the 2021 season. I know he's been very active on social media. He's already been very active here so far in the community in San Diego. He's a midfielder. I feel like we've got a lot of English-born midfielders here on SD Loyal. He's Jack Blake, who's taking time to join us tonight on the Unnamed Soccer Podcast. Jack, Darren, Jordan, we appreciate it. Welcome to San Diego.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Great to be on the show. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, I also would say, now I've done a little bit of research here about you, Jack, and about where you're from, what part of England. That's Nottingham, as Ted Lasso would say, Nottingham Forest, right?
Yes, sir.
So I hope I'm not getting this wrong or being insulting. I know like Australians don't like it when people say, you know, hey, good day, mate, throw a shrimp on the barbie. But I up me duck, is that a good greeting for somebody who's from your part of the world?
I'll need to hear it again. I'll need to hear it one more time.
I up me duck.
There we go. Very good. Yeah. You sound like you're just from Nottingham.
I think you're being kind now. Did I get that right? Is that like insulting?
No. Right. That's a way to greet someone in Nottingham. A up me duck. Yep. Standard way. Yes. Okay. Yes, that's correct.
All right. Well, as the only one in this conversation apparently not from Nottingham, can you tell me what in the world you just said?
It's kind of just a nice greeting. They call me duck, like my friend. It's just a very Nottingham slang term.
Okay, A up me duck. So that way, when Jack joins us, Jordan, post-match, this is how we're going to carry on conversations. And if you're a fan of SD Loyal or you're part of the supporters group and you see him, A up me duck.
I
up
me duck. Quack.
I've been told, or my research tells me, that people from your part of the world have perhaps some of the most unique accents in all of England. Is that true?
Yeah, we have a quite wide range of accents. Yeah, I think someone from England, you know, you can definitely tell immediately they're from Nottingham. But yeah, I mean, the whole of England, you can detect where someone's from immediately, which is quite cool. I think it's the same over here in the States, though, but I don't want to give my American accent away.
Oh, come on. You've been well-traveled now. You can pick a region and you can give us some accent.
Okay, what do you want me to say?
What part of the world do you want to represent first?
I could try a southern accent, maybe.
Okay. Go ahead. Just, you know, tell us how excited you are to be in San Diego and your best southern accent.
I'm really excited to be here. I can't wait to try some biscuits and gravy, some mac and cheese. And yeah, I'm just excited to be here, man. Yeah, we should probably edit that out. Yeah.
No. That's top shelf. No. Are we taking? Can we take requests? Do you do Valley Girl by chance? Are there other impressions we can do here?
No more.
Okay. Well, maybe by the end of the 2021 season, we can get you with a good Southern California accent.
There we go.
What people think is a good Southern California accent. Describe what match day is like. I mean, as somebody who grew up in Nottingham, tell us what it's like on match day there.
A match day in Nottingham is it's pretty hectic, to be honest. It's kind of like a buzz around the city, and you know, when you know it's match day, you kind of feel the energy, feel the vibe. And from what I've heard around San Diego, it's the same thing. You know, hopefully we can have some fans here this season in the stadium and feel that vibe, that energy. And a lot of people have told me about it, so hopefully I can experience that. I'm really excited for that.
When was the last time that you've been back to Nottingham?
We actually went just this last off season. Both me and my wife, we're from the same hometown, Nottingham. And so, yeah, every off season we'll go back with the kids and see our parents and see all our family and friends and stuff, which is nice.
You have friends and family there. Are they going to follow? They followed your career, I would think, here in the States. Oh, so yeah. It's a pretty late night if they're going to stay up and watch matches, you know, 7, 8 o'clock on the West Coast here in California. So how are they going to keep tabs on you, Jack?
Oh yeah, they're going to do it for sure. I think they look forward to it. I think in the off season they miss not getting up at 3, 4 in the morning. That's what they tell me anyway.
Jack, I think one of the really cool things that you bring to San Diego as we get to know you a little bit more is something that you have is something that we don't in San Diego, which is a lot of experience in USL. Like you've seen a few things, you've won championships, you've done things that supporters here in San Diego haven't been able to experience quite yet, just 1 year and going into year number two. What's your take on USL as someone born where you're born and growing up where you did and growing up in the academy that you did? What's your opinion of the league?
The league's grown a lot over the last, especially the last 2-3 years. And, you know, I think the way that the clubs run here in San Diego, I think if they'd have been in the USL over the last 4 or 5 years, I think they would definitely have a championship under their belt, because just the way the clubs run, you know, immediately I've come into the market and, you know, I've seen how well the club is, you know, organized, the people working in the front office, going out into the community, you know, get that vibe that it's a very well-respected club. And it's run the right way, which is a big appealing factor for me to come here, really. I think looking to this season, I think that the squad we have is more than capable of winning some championship and bringing back some silverware to California. I think over the course of the last 2 or 3 years, you've seen the league grow a little bit more, and, you know, more and more players of higher quality and from all over the world are starting to join this league, and it's definitely on the rise. I think, you know, San Diego are going to be one of the top teams this year, and I can't wait to get started.
Yeah, that's some pretty high praise that you have here for San Diego Loyal. And, you know, for a club now that's just 1 year into its existence, Jack, where did you pick all that up? I mean, how did San Diego Loyal develop that kind of reputation and become, I guess, that much more appealing for you to join?
Well, you know, it starts from the top, really. You know, the ownership and right down through Landon and Nate Miller and, you know, all the people in the front office. I think that the way that the club want to be viewed, you know, you could see the things that happened last year, the unfortunate events that did happen during the season, but the club reacted so well and in the correct way. And, you know, they sort of almost forfeited the playoffs to do the right thing, which for me was, you know, they earn a lot of respect around the league for that. And I think it's a club that I want to be a part of. You know, the aspirations long-term as well to take the club further and further and more established. And I'm so excited to be a part of it. And hopefully, like I said, we can bring a championship home.
Who reached out to you first from San Diego Loyal? When did the recruiting process begin?
Landon, actually. Landon was someone that was, when I heard Landon was interested in bringing me on board, and you know, he spoke very, very highly of me and was very key, and it kind of was another big factor, really. You know, someone of his stature and his career and what he's achieved in the game, you know, I'm just excited to be a part of it.
And on that point, because I was going to ask you about Landon, and, you know, obviously, you know, you are a fan of football and you grew up around football. So, you know, Landon's name would mean something to you. But, you know, we never have a sense of, we know what he means to American fans. You know, for you getting this opportunity to play for him, what does that mean for you, just to play for a guy who we all consider a legend? But, you know, we're never quite sure how the rest of the world might view our country when it comes to football.
Landon's definitely a, you know, a legend when it comes to, you know, global football as well. You know, when I was a kid growing up playing football, you know, I knew who Landon was. Obviously he scored some big goals for the clubs he's played for, but also for USA, you know, watching the World Cup, you know, the USA were drawn in the same group as England, and you know, he's definitely a big name over. Obviously he played in the Premier League for a little bit as well. So yeah, he's definitely a well-respected and a well-known person and player among this sport. Yeah.
Landon's not the only person you're familiar with San Diego Loyal. You've got a former teammate here. Your time with the Monarchs, now all of a sudden you're going to be playing once again with Charlie Adams. What's can you give us a funny Charlie Adams story? Like, can you give us something that he did, something that might make him stand out, like way back in the day? Can you give us the dirt?
I can think of plenty of stories, but yeah, maybe not ones on here. I don't know, I'm joking. Charlie's a top lad. He's a really, really nice lad, but you know, off the field, he's very good. He's a leader, you know, on and off the field. And I know from coming into this group, lads look up to him as well to be a leader. And when I played with him at the Monarchs, very, very, you know, very much enjoyed playing with him. He brings the most out of players around him, demands quite a lot from players, which is the same thing that I do as well. So yeah, I think we're in for a really good year.
He is quite the dresser. You know, one thing that we've noticed, it felt like Jordan and I would get to the stadium at the same time often as Charlie. Man, he's got some colorful shirts. I don't know if it was always this way. Maybe he's changed since he's been in California, Jackie. I don't know. But has he always been such a snazzy dresser here? He's a pretty stylish guy.
Stylish is not the first thing that comes to mind with Charlie. To me, it looks like he gets dressed in the dark. But no, maybe he's changed man since coming to Cali. Maybe Cali's brought it out in him.
Right, Jordan? I mean, you and I walked in with him, I feel like, every single home match. So there are times you're like, wow, look at the shirt. And you know, the hair now is rocking. So, right? Would you agree?
What Darren is trying to say is he would wear this amazing tiger shirt. He would show up to the stadium. And it was this shirt with just a huge tiger head on the front. Yep. And like, you know, he kind of meant business. Like, you knew it was game day. So I liked it. I think it was.
I mean, you know, when you score the first goal in franchise history, you can kind of show up to whatever you want in, really, can't you?
Yes, very good point. Now, and he is like the feature model. They've got shirts from Charlie. Like, they've already created a whole line of clothing there at the SD Loyal store. You've only been here a short amount of time, Jack, and yet I've seen you. You've gone to Rady Children's Hospital, one of the sponsors, shirt sponsors and partners for SD Loyal. You've jumped right into this, you know, not just in terms of training, but your first impression of San Diego so far as somebody who's new to the area and new to the club.
Yeah, I, you know, not just come here to do a job on the field. I want to make an impact in the community and off the field as well. And, you know, when the opportunity arose to go to Rady's Children Hospital, it was something that I wanted to do. And, you know, I was very impressed going there and seeing the, you know, the way that it's run there, and then the people volunteering, the people that work there, like, you know, hugely, massively inspirational, and they do such a good job. And for the club to have a strong connection with them is so important as well. So I'm always open for things in the community and, you know, changing lives really, and trying to make, you know, do good in the world. So, yeah.
We mentioned Charlie Adams being someone you already know. You're going out to these outings, including like Rady's Children's with multiple teammates. Who are a few of the guys that you're kind of, you've clicked with early on?
Charlie and, you know, Jack Metcalf as well. Obviously him being from England as well. And Ben Spencer I've met. And I've also been in contact with a few of the new sign-ins as well. Corey Herzog, who I think is going to be a really good addition as well, and someone that's got proven goal scoring record in the league. So like I said, some really good talent coming into this squad, and now in preseason is going to be the job of all of us, you know, working together for that one goal really.
So you mentioned you already talked with Corey Herzog. We know Charlie Adams has great fashion. Corey has amazing hair. Do you think, is there any chance that you're going to have better hair than Corey Herzog, or does he get that title before the season?
Yeah, I'm not sure that's possible, is it? I don't know if I've got the hairline to compete with Corey's.
Plenty of characters on the team. There's no question about that. That's like the one thing I've gathered. And like in a good way too, because it's people doing really good things in the community, but it's a really strong team, both on and off the field, is what we picked up so far early on.
Yeah. Yeah. The, you know, Landon, Nate and the recruitment staff have done a really good job of bringing in, you know, not only good players, but good people for the locker room. And I think it's going to be a group that, you know, we can really gel. And you know, the most successful teams are one that have the ones that have really good team morale and things like that. So yeah, it's going to be an exciting year.
So we saw this image of you on social media that you, you were packing up a truck and you were leaving. Did you drive to San Diego?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So my wife and two kids were in the car, and I had the task of driving the U-Haul.
Okay. And no, it's not easy. I've made that trip. What did you listen to on the way? Who's in control? What have you listening to? Are you listening to music? Are you listening to podcasts?
A little bit of both. You know, listen to a podcast. You know, I like to listen to things on like sports performance and just general kind of inspirational podcasts, but also music, also, you know, calling friends and family back home in England, just using that time to catch up with people as well. Obviously, as you know, it's a fairly long drive. So, just kind of passing the time, really.
What kind of podcast are you listening to? Give us some advice. Give us some recommendation if we're not listening to this podcast.
So I really like listening to the Gary Vee, who's he's the inspirational talker, but he also talks a lot about business stuff and, how to bet yourself, financially for your family, you know, saving money, things like that. I listen to his podcast. And then I kind of like a bit of true crime as well. So I listen to some true crime podcasts and, an interview. I forget the name of one I listened to. If it comes back to me, I'll tell you, but there was a really interesting podcast I listened to where they were talking to a London gangster of what it was like to live, be a gangster in London, which was quite cool to listen to. So if I remember it, I'll tell you.
Love it.
Very good.
You're also, we've noticed too, you are quite tattooed. Tell us a little bit about, entire back piece and leg piece. And this is quite the artwork that you display.
Yeah. So I started my leg first and kind of wanted to just depict my story and things that mean a lot to me, family. My son was born. So my son's called Leo. So I have a big lion on my thigh with like a lion cub next to it. And then when my daughter was born, because I'd had my whole leg done about my son as well, you know, I felt like it was the right thing to do to get stuff for my daughter. So I decided to just get the whole back, which was not an easy experience, but I'm glad that it was over with.
Does that mean like no more kids because we're running out of real estate at this point?
Yeah. When we run out of room, that's it. I'm done. Yeah.
How old were you when you got your first?
I was 21.
Okay. Yeah. So you didn't like, this is not a, I came home and somebody was angry at me in the house sort of situation.
No. It was a well planned out, well thought out tattoo. I didn't want to get like a holiday tattoo and come back with something I regret. You know?
Can you tell us what the one on your right shoulder is? Cause you know, it seems like there's some sentiment, you know, aside from the sentimentality of family, but can you explain the one on the right shoulder for us?
Yeah. Yeah. So obviously last year was obviously a difficult year for so many different reasons. There was a good friend of mine, one of my best friends growing up in the Nottingham Forest Academy. He signed for the academy just after I did. So he was like 9. I would have been around the same age at the time. We kind of grew up together. We both turned professional when we were 17, kind of had very similar backgrounds. And he went out and did like a college, studied a university in Ohio. So instead of turning professional 18, 19, he chose to go down the college route. So we kind of like not lost touch. We still spoke quite a lot. And then, unfortunately last year, July 4th weekend, he was at like a college party and, he could never swim. And unfortunately, he drowned at a party. So it was something that meant a lot to me. It was a very difficult period of time to get over. And, I guess I wanted to depict a tattoo for him and, it was something that means a lot to me.
Yeah, it's amazing artwork too. I mean, I will tell you that's because I've seen I actually researched and saw the picture itself, and you know, it's something else. So I mean, it's not like you said, it's not all just on holiday coming home with something that you might regret. It seems like there's so much thought put into the artwork that you have on your body, which is great to see.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that.
Jack, I think I can speak for a lot of people in San Diego to say that we're very excited to have you with SD Loyal, and we're really excited for the 2021 season. I was watching highlights a little bit earlier. It was the highlights that USL had posted when they announced that you were coming to San Diego. I don't know if you ever score goals inside the box. I saw plenty of goals outside the box. You are not shy. You can pull the trigger from anywhere, and according to those highlights, it tends to go in quite often. So do you score inside the box, or is it just you reserve it for outside?
Yeah, a couple, but I like to maybe save up for the more long distance ones. If I score in the box this season, I'll come and celebrate with you guys again.
We'll be the guys with the beers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We're very popular.
Yeah, that mid-game boost of a beer, nothing like that settling on my stomach.
Listen, I won't say which team, but there was at least one team that like walked by the set last season, and they were taking a pretty hard look at the beers, thinking like, hey, I even remember one player saying something like, hey, maybe it's not a bad idea. Let's slam a beer real quick.
Yeah, I'm not sure how my body would agree with that during a game. Maybe after the game for sure.
That's what we're there for.
Yeah. Well, Jack, we appreciate it. Welcome again to San Diego. We look forward to learning some more colloquialisms from Nottingham. So, hey up, my doc, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Darren. Appreciate it. Thanks, Jordan. Cheers, mate. Yeah.
There he is, Darren, Jack Blake, who scores from everywhere. And seems like someone we're going to have on the post-match show a few times throughout the season. Very fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I look forward to learning a little bit from him. As I said, when I found out he was coming on the podcast, it sort of sent me off in a direction where I'm watching documentaries about Nottingham Forest and winning a couple of European Cups, which, you know, I don't know that I realized. And I found this documentary that anybody could find on YouTube called The Greatest Story in Football. This is Nottingham Forest. And that's where I picked up the A-Up Madoc stuff, which, like I said, I didn't know if he's going to go, God, what a douche. Why would you bring that up? That's like the worst thing ever. But, you know, he rolled with it, which was fun. And he was playful and he was good. And there's all sorts of fun stuff you can learn about him, about his town. So I enjoyed that. That was a good learning experience for me just to be able to see what he's all about and where he's from.
All right. I want to make sure I'm actually understanding you correctly when you're using this very, very cool new catchphrase that we have. Hey up, me duck.
Yeah.
Do I have
I believe
that
it's,
right?
I don't know that it's hey. I think it's more like A-Y, like I up. A? I up, I up, A up, me duck.
All right. I'm not even going to attempt it.
I wrote it down as A-Y, one word, up, midduck, M-I-D-D-U-C-K.
See, I wrote it down M-E space duck, me duck.
I've also seen it spelled out as like my duck, like my man, my homie, my man, you know. Hey, what's up, my duck? I guess. I don't
know. Okay, well, assuming that we're going to be in the same spot for the 2021 season for pre and post match, which I have no idea if that's the case. But if we are, when the players walk down, they walk down behind us and they'll come onto the field before the match. We'll at least have to throw that that phrase out there.
Hey, my duck.
Yeah, I think Jack will appreciate that very much. He might be like, why are these guys on the field? Like someone kicked them out. But
like I said, like, do you know anybody who's Australian? Like I've got some Australian friends and they don't want to hear like throw another shrimp on the Barbie or, you know, the dingo ate your baby and stuff like that. Like, although that is somewhat of a true story, that said, like, they don't want to hear that sort of stuff, like, you know, and you get it. So I didn't know, but I heard it from somebody who narrated this documentary about Nottingham Forest saying like, that's the way we speak around here. So I was like, okay, maybe that'd be a cool way to say hi to Jack Blake.
I think it was really, really well done. Good work out of you. I think you nailed it. I think he appreciated it. And then it turned into him delivering a Southern accent on the show, which is fantastic. That's going to be our promo for this episode. But I think he did a really, really good job. And I think that's a better Southern accent than I would be able to come up with. So kudos.
I think it was a better Southern accent than either one of us were capable of giving Nottingham accent.
Yeah. I mean, what's the first thing you think of when you think of Nottingham?
Nottingham Forest.
Right. I think of Robin Hood.
Yeah.
That's what I think of. I was not going to bring that up, though. That's probably, like you said, that's probably just something you don't bring up. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be the last time. And maybe that was. I hope it wasn't, though. But it's amazing. You know, there's two clubs in Nottingham. There's Nottingham Forest, and then there's Notts County. And the two of them, Jordan and I were looking at a picture earlier. They're separated by like 300 yards across the River Trent. Like there's these two football grounds just right across the river from one another. So it sounds like someday, somewhere on my journey, I'd like to get over there and see what it's like on match day, just parading around. People are in boats up and down the river, all sorts of fun stuff going on there.
Yeah, it's a really incredible photo. Darren sent it to me a little bit earlier. So I'm pretty it'd be about an 8-iron for you, I think. An 8-iron from one stadium to the next.
300 yards, yeah. Maybe with a hell of a wind at my back. If only we had a place where we could post pictures like this so that we could direct our listeners to go and find some destination for you and me to put up photos and interviews and links and all that sort of stuff.
Yes. Check out our Instagram page. Darren, I think that was a lot of fun. Jack Blake, he's going to be, it's a fun midfield specifically. You brought that up. The midfield has got this English flavor to it, and it's very nice. I like it. I like the setup we have. It seems like these guys are going to have a lot of fun with each other.
Yeah. And, you know, not only that, but they're all business too. You know, like Charlie and Jack are, you know, I mean, these guys are, you know, this is going to be, and Jack, you know, both Jack, like they're about business. We get to see
Wear Tiger shirts on game day, dude. That's business time.
They show up ready to intimidate and dominate.
Right.
And so, you know, when you're talking about, you know, Metcalf, Adams now, and Blake, like those dudes are there, like they're not going to be messing around an awful lot. That's a serious midfield. So, you know, I don't know what the shape is going to look like. I have no reason to think it's going to look different than it did last year. But from that standpoint, having guys who have grown up, who have been part of it, who are born into this sport, man, I'm a fan. I will tell you that. With all respect to you know, our players and our being, you know, U.S.-born players, you know, I'm a fan of that. Those guys are there to have fun, and they're there to kick ass too.
Yeah. I mean, Tiger wears red on Sundays. Charlie wears Tiger on match day. It's great. I love it. His shirt is amazing. I think there's a picture out there that he's posted at some point. If not, we're going to track one down. I know the team photographer has one, at least one. So maybe we'll track down one of those photos. Really good stuff. I'm excited to learn more about him throughout the season.
I will say, though, and I'm not kidding, Jordan and I, more times than not, I feel like we would walk in at the same time as Charlie on game day. And I never really had the guts to say, Charlie, man, that's what a shirt. Tell us the story about that shirt. You know, I just figured that was his thing and, you know, hey, good on him. And he would wear, you know, a nice pair of denim shorts more times than not. And you know, he'd be ready to go.
I'm going to, our next interview request will be for Charlie Adams, but only if he wears his Tiger shirt during the podcast. What do you think about that?
It's a good call. That would be really beneficial for the people who actually watch the video interviews.
Correct. Absolutely. On a place that they'll be able to find it. That's good. I mean, I don't think I have anything else with our new addition, Jack Blake. Yeah. I had some other questions that I wanted to get to, but I didn't feel like it really fit. So I'm glad we didn't ask him. But there's always other ways to get to know him. We could have asked him like his favorite Netflix shows, his favorite food, his favorite all that stuff. But I think we got to know him pretty well there. That was fun. For as much as you can in 15, 20 minutes on the first time, I thought that was a pretty good first date, Darren.
That was a pretty good first date. Absolutely. Like you said, we keep everybody wanting a little bit more.
There you go.
So that's the whole point.
You know what Jordan, I want more of?
What do you want more of?
I want more Paul Arriola playing for Swansea against Manchester City earlier today in the FA Cup. But really, I'll take it in any kind of tournament. It doesn't need to be the FA Cup. Maybe it could be in the league next year, in the Premier League. Who knows? Let's watch that a little bit earlier. It was very exciting to see San Diego's Chula Vista's own Paul Arriola. What I think in a very fun time, it's a really critical time for Swansea. I know it's really, if you're a supporter of Swans, it's a really intense period to be a supporter. And there's a lot on the line the next couple of months. But as someone who is able to watch, just as someone who wants to see Paul succeed, what a fun time for him. Like, I know he's out there and it's business and he doesn't view it this way, but I view it this way. And I think it's really, really cool that he is going through the period that he's going through right now with Swans. I hope it stays for a while. I hope he's able to stick around. I have no idea if it will work out, but whatever time he gets there, I think he's has a lot of, already a fun moment against Manchester City in the FA Cup, but also an opportunity to lead them to promotion. We'll see how it plays out, but what a fun time for Paul and Swans.
Yeah, absolutely. And what a cool time too for San Diego Swans to have a tweet of theirs directed towards the club retweeted out to, all the Swans supporters all over the world when they said,
"Hey, what Swans in the world?"
To all of the Swans, they said, "Hey, what number is Paul going to be wearing?" This comes from SD Swans, and then Swansea City tweets it out to the million plus followers that they have that Paul's going to be wearing number 19, and he debuts. And though he came on, I believe the score was probably, what were they down? 3 goals to City in an FA Cup match on a Wednesday. But he came on and he played a role in the goal that Swansea ended up getting. It was a pretty cool day for him. Obviously a day he'll never forget, even though it was disappointing. And also a pretty cool day for U.S. soccer fans to know that Zach Steffen is in goal for City, and Jordan Morris is starting for Swansea, and Paul Arriola comes off the bench as a sub. That got a lot of run on social media from those who follow U.S. soccer. So, I thought it was all in all, a noteworthy day for sure. Not the result that you wanted if you're a Paul Arriola fan or a Swansea fan. But as you said, I think they're playing for bigger stakes here. They're still very much in the automatic promotion conversation, but certainly in at the very least, and I'm sure they would really rather avoid a playoff, they're very much in that conversation. So, these are things that you don't just get these kind of opportunities. And, I was really thrilled for Paul, who traveled out there on his birthday so that he could go to South Wales. I only wish that there had been fans in attendance against Manchester City, because that would have been just a wild, wild scene for Swansea. But still, congratulations to Paul for debuting Swansea on Wednesday.
Yeah, we want nothing. We just want the best for Paul. That's what we want for Paul Arriola with Swans. And it's just, I know he's going to make the most of his time there. I just hope he's given a bunch of opportunities and a bunch of cool experiences while he's there. So that's what I'm rooting for. And I'm also rooting to track down a number 19 Swansea jersey with Arriola's name on the back. I was inspired by Nate's interview last week when we had Nate Abarea on the podcast. I saw all his jerseys. I'm like, what would be good? A Swansea one with Paul's name on the back. It'd be good stuff.
You didn't bring anything for show and tell today?
I have scarves nearby. I can snag something. I see your Tijuana scarf. I see your U.S. men's national team or U.S. soccer scarf. I see the Peña, which you had a very, very cool appearance with the Peña a little bit earlier. Tell us about that.
Yeah. I also brought for show and tell this, from the FA Cup final.
Hey,
Crystal Palace.
That?
Yeah. My buddy Rory brought that back from the final between Palace and Manchester United many, many moons ago. So there's a little bit of show and tell if anybody actually happens to watch this. The Peña. Can we talk a little bit about Barca Live? About what it is that FC Barcelona does for their matches? This is something I think we're seeing more and more in sports, Jordan, that in addition to whatever broadcast a particular game is being played, you see now that there's alternate broadcasts going on, and what FC Barcelona does on Barca TV and on its YouTube channel, which has 11 million subscribers, is they have a show happening during the match called Barca Live. And they've got three hosts in a studio, and they sit there and you're watching them watching the match, and they're providing play-by-play and telling you that somebody gets hurt or subbed or there's a goal. And then they post it afterwards and it gets 500, 600, 700,000 views. It's like the craziest thing you've ever heard of. And, they travel all around the world and they interview different people and different Peñas, supporters groups, when if it's called a Peña in Catalonia. And so they invited Peña Blaugrana, the local Barcelona supporters group. They said, you know, would you guys want to be interviewed right as the match kicks off again at halftime and again in post-match? And our presidente, Ruben Aguilera, said yes and invited me to go on. So there the two of us are appearing on Barca TV while Barca over the weekend was playing against Real Betis. And we were asked to make predictions. We were asked to give our analysis at halftime and then our post-match analysis on Sunday. And this went out there. You can find it on YouTube. Last I checked, it was upwards of 500,000 people watched it. And it's just us and us talking about the match with a couple of hosts who are sitting there in Barcelona watching it and streaming it out there on Barca TV.
So you're telling me you took your demo reel from your one season with San Diego Loyal being the pre and post host, and now you're Barcelona's pre and post host?
Well, that's to be determined. I'll get back to you on that. But I'm just trying to use it for a little bit of leverage for SD Loyal for season number two. You know, hey, I might have options.
Listen, I've been to the bridge keeps calling. The bridge keeps calling. Yeah, very cool. I watched the video. You guys did a really good job. I don't know if you nailed your prediction, but that doesn't matter.
Well, there's a funny story behind that. So we talked about what the prediction was going to be before we started the match. And Ruben, our president, said he was going to go 3-1 Barca. And I said I was going to go 4-2. Now, you know, they're playing away, so the score 2-4, 1-3, whatever. But you get the point. You know, Barca would win. Ruben was going to say 3-1. I was going to say 4-2. And then we get on, and it's like 4 or 5 minutes into the match, and one of Barca's defenders gets hurt and has to be subbed off. So, Ruben, what's your prediction for the match? He goes, well, I think Barca's going to win. Barca's going to win 4-2. And I kind of went, well, wait a second. You know, so then he said, like, I didn't want to have the same prediction, you know, so I think I said 3-2 or something like that, or 4-2. I forgot how it worked out. I said, oh, no, I know what it was. I was going to say 3-1. He said 3-1, and then I went 4-2. And it ended up being 3-2 because anytime Barca and Real Betis play, they always score like 5, 6, 7 goals combined in all their matches. But yeah, it was a great experience. And to think, you know, that you get hundreds of thousands of people who are watching this sort of stuff. It's just, it's mind blowing. And we were connected to them there in Barcelona and other supporters groups from around the world, people who are up in the middle of the night. And, you know, it's just like a really cool thing that the club does to show its global reach. So I did say at the half, you know, they got to bring on Messi was not a starter. I did correctly really climbed out on a limb and said that Messi would come into the match and score. He did. And then I also said Sergiño Dest would play. Now, I don't know. This is becoming quite a mystery here with our American right back that he is not getting playing time for Barca. So I got that one wrong. I thought he would come on. But, yeah, it was a ton of fun. And I hope they invite us back. And it was a little tough to hear because, you know, we were at Sano's and there was a little bit of noise in the background. So I don't even know if they ever actually introduced me. I just sort of just jumped into the conversation and started flapping my gums like I always do.
So you predicted that Lionel Messi would score a goal in a Barca win.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, right, that's great.
I mean,
I think really what inspired this show idea, and I could be completely wrong, but the very first club I think of with this kind of concept, and this isn't a compliment necessarily because they became popular because of all the losses that the show had to endure and their reaction on the show after dealing with their club's loss was Arsenal TV. I'm pretty sure Arsenal TV was really like one of the first ones that became really popular. And I could be completely wrong. So forgive me if I am.
Does Arsenal TV go live? I mean, are they doing it during the match? Because I've seen all the post-match stuff.
Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. You see plenty of those screenshots. It's getting passed around when Arsenal slips to the bottom half of the table. I could be wrong, but I think Arsenal TV really made that popular, and you do see that more and more. So congrats. You predicted Messi would score in a Barcelona win, and you called out your host for changing his score.
Yeah, I did do that. I did. Well, I didn't want to have the same prediction, but you know, He said 3-1, and then I went with 4-2. So I was close. Barca should have had a fourth, but whatever. They're not playing.
You know what? Do Spurs have Spurs TV? Because that would be a fascinating channel to watch lately. I would watch Spurs TV.
Well, we are broadcasting on a Wednesday. If I'm not mistaken, check me here on the final. I think it was after extra time, Everton 5 and Spurs 4. Spurs eliminated from the FA Cup. Is that right? This was the battle for the Harp. This is the Harp Derby.
Yeah, this would have been the Harp being packed with beers just flowing everywhere, with Spurs fans singing their songs. With Everton fans, the Toffees there, and the Toffees would have had the final say in that one. 5-4. What a fun one. That would have been a great match to actually watch live at the Harp. That would have been a lot of fun in Ocean Beach. I don't think that they're open right now, but
I think they were doing something outside. I thought I saw SD Spurs promoting that the Harp would be open in some capacity. I don't know. Do those guys have stakes? Because the Harp and Ocean Beach, like, does Everton get like better seating or more comfortable chairs, or like what happens when there's actually one of these derbies and there's this in-house split amongst the people who go to the Harp? What are the stakes?
I think they have to fight. I think that's what it is. They actually fight for what side is better. Now, okay. I think since Everton won the most recent match, Everton supporters should have the bigger half of the bar, because there is a bigger half. You could sit on the side that only has like this little area. I think Everton deserves the bigger side now. That's the way it goes. Those are the rules. I didn't write them. I didn't make the rules. I just follow them.
I think there should be something though. Like, you should have to open up a tab for an hour, and then, you know, all the Evertonians, the Toffees, they get to sit and they get to drink. Or if Spurs win, then all the Spurs supporters, they get to drink. Like, there should be something there that's on the line.
Darren, we should check in to see how Spurs fans are doing. And to do that, let's just check in on the Twitter account of San Diego Spurs. And this is a message that Darren sent me. I missed this. Darren sent it to me. I think this is really well said, actually. I think this sums it up quite well for Spurs this year. San Diego Spurs' official statement on the Tottenham season is a football, quote, football is escapism, pure and simple. And right now, I would rather escape from Spurs. Very, very harsh statement from San Diego Spurs. They want to go ahead and escape Tottenham right now, when normally they want to escape everything else for Tottenham. So that's the official statement here in San Diego with your Spurs. It's been tough. It's been tough. But Harry Kane is back. Bale, they tell me he's back. I'm still waiting to see if he's truly back. Everyone says he's back. I don't know. But I guess Jose, one less opportunity to win a trophy with Tottenham as the FA Cup slips through his hands earlier today against whoever, Everton.
Yeah, it's quite a story on SD Spurs Twitter feed. Gotta be kidding me. There's probably no coming back from this. Embarrassing. Yeah, I feel for those guys. They've been super supportive of the podcast. Oh, yeah, I don't know what it says. Yeah, we do love Ben. And you know, there's many others.
Spurs, but especially
Yeah, this is now becoming interesting with them being bounced from the FA Cup, Jordan, because, you know, you would say the league obviously is out of reach. And, what do they have left here?
I would say the Carabao Cup is out of reach.
Yeah,
the league is out of reach for Tottenham, and they have Carabao Cup. They're in the final. They're already in the final. So one match, they could have a trophy.
So push all in on that.
They are Man City.
They got to push all in on that, because – Jose Mourinho wins trophies wherever he goes. So he's got to win a trophy here. Or what's the deal? If he can't win a trophy with Spurs, is that a statement on Spurs, or is that a statement on where Jose is in his career?
Darren, hold on. Let me make sure I'm understanding your question correctly. Darren, you are asking, if Jose Mourinho can't even win a trophy at Tottenham Hotspur, does that say more about the manager, or would that say more about the club? I think that is a fascinating question. That is a really good question. I would have to say it means more about the club. He's been able to do it everywhere else. I mean, pick the club. Pick any club right now. Go ahead. Name a former club. Chelsea? He's been there twice. Let's name Chelsea. Both times. Won multiple trophies both times, actually. Okay, so he did it at Chelsea. He did it United, people make fun of his time at United, yes, but I believe he won trophies with United.
And didn't he win the Europa League?
Yeah, I mean, and listen, if you think I'm going to make fun of the Europa League, you are wrong, because Chelsea, Europa League champions not too long ago with Eden Hazard in our send-off before that Eden Hazard turned out to be for Real Madrid. So, yeah, I mean, what does it say?
Out,
I don't know.
Out again, by the way. Out again, Eden for Hazard. What? Out for well, several weeks.
All the money we spent really isn't producing anything quite yet. So kind of a wash at this point. Yeah, I mean, does it say more about the club or Jose? I bet Jose really wants to win the Carabao Cup all of a sudden.
Yep. Who can blame him? He wins everywhere. So I would think that this clearly represents the best chance they have at a piece of silverware there in Tottenham. So I think that would be a very, very interesting question, though. Well, then there you go. So they still have opportunities. So, you know, I just think that we're sort of headed towards that type of discussion. It's probably a little bit premature, but since we just watched them get, we're only saying because they just got bounced out of the FA Cup today. So it's sort of fresh of mind.
It is. I want to know if they're still alive. I think they're still alive in Europa. We'll find out. They have a very big test this weekend. It's a Carabao Cup final preview. They're going to take on Manchester City at the Etihad this weekend.
Yes. That is 9:30. Yes. Yeah. Looking forward to that. There's some decent matchups this weekend. You know, you got Arsenal Leeds on Sunday. That's probably okay. So, okay.
What time is that?
I don't know. It's not 4:30.
I thought you were telling me it was the 4 a.m. match and I needed to get up for Arsenal Leeds.
No.
They're still alive in Europa. They're still alive. They take on Wolfsburger here soon.
Okay.
I don't know if they'll be able to play that first leg. I don't know if they'll be able to play the first leg in wherever they're playing. Where is Wolfsburger? Germany?
Yes.
All right. Well, they might have to play somewhere else thanks to all these rules. I know Chelsea and Atletico Madrid are playing I don't know. Their first leg is not in Spain, though. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, aren't some of these being moved around? Did I see Real Sociedad and Manchester United are going and playing some neutral site someplace?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's several. There are the three English teams still alive in Champions League, and I'm assuming still in Europa. It's not just a Champions League thing. They are having to play the first leg at a neutral site, which, is it a disadvantage? I would imagine so, yes. How big of a disadvantage is the question, though, because it's not as if these stadiums are packed with fans right now. So how big of a difference is a neutral site? Some, but not as severe as, like, let's say 3-4 years, if this happened like 3-4 years ago, it would be more impactful. But yeah, they are having to play the first leg at neutral sites.
All right.
There's that.
All right. So that's your pick to click for the weekend, huh? Spurs and City.
Yes. I would love to see what happens. Even though I think they're going to save it up for the Carabao Cup, I think they'd rather have that one than this one against City this weekend in league.
Is the league over?
Yeah, the league's over. Thanks a lot, Liverpool. Thanks for nothing. No favors given to the rest of the league. I don't think Chelsea are going to do anything to win it. Liverpool don't look like they're going to win it. I don't expect Leicester to do it. United, you know my opinion on United. So, yeah, I guess it's City.
Yeah. Well, now what? A point behind, if I'm not mistaken? A point behind Liverpool for Chelsea? I mean, that's what you're thinking about.
I'm thinking about top four right now. That's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
Could Chelsea finish top four? Potentially. Could Tottenham finish top four? Potentially. But we'll see. Arsenal, I don't think you're finishing top four.
How about the Hammers?
No, I don't think they finished top four.
Okay.
And then, sorry, Hammer fans. It's just history's against you on that one.
Mm-mm. All right. Well, Jordan, I'm good. Stay tuned. Good. We might have some interesting news coming up here. I continue to hear more and more chatter about a potential preseason friendly for SD Loyal. Somewhere, I don't know, maybe around the end of March, somewhere in that range. So stay tuned. Nothing official. We'll let the club make that announcement. But you keep hearing more and more about, potentially one of those last couple of days there in March, just trying to figure it out, make it happen. So getting pretty excited about seeing something live in person again here in town.
Yeah, I'm really excited for the 2021 season to get going. Want to give our thanks to Jack Blake for joining us early on in the podcast. He provided an amazing Southern accent. Also a lot of really good insight just on him growing up where he did, getting some experiences in USL, his view of USL as the league, and the reasons why he decided to come to San Diego. I thought he did a really, really good job tonight. Excited to chat it up with Jack Blake again going forward. Give you some thoughts on Paul Arriola and his time with Swansea. Very excited for him. Got to track down. If someone could just send me a link potentially of where to find that jersey, I'll go ahead and purchase it. And then Darren with a very, very mean question for Tottenham fans out there. But I thought it was an interesting question. I'm glad you brought it up.
Hey, I think it's questions that they might be asking of themselves, just judging on the timeline, that there seems to be a lot of introspection here. So it's the time. This is a safe space here. It's the time to let it all out.
Yeah, it is very much so. Hey, good job to you on Barca TV. You are a superstar, my friend. 600 million views. Good stuff.
International superstar. Ruben and I, we are on to greatness here. We'll see what happens next for us.
Well, now that all that money that Messi is leaving behind in Barca, you're not going to pay all that money. They're going to have some money for their pre and post show host. So maybe you can dive into that contract a little bit.
Oh, they know how to get in touch with me.
Okay. Thanks to Three Puck Ales. Thanks to Sport Clips. Thank you to everyone else involved with the Unnamed Soccer Podcast. We will chat with you soon.